Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Inside the Comedian with me, David Reed. This week, I'll be interviewing Lucy Porter.
Comedian, writer, raconteur, quizzer, jizzer, ghostface killer. Lucy Porter, welcome to Inside the Comedian.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. You're famously quite short. I'm sorry to bring that up. I know that it's a bit rude to ask a woman her height. But how tall are you?
My playing height.
Yes.
Is 4'11".
Right.
But my actual, I mean, everyone has this.
Everyone has
their playing height and their real height. My real height is 6'5".
6'5". Oh, yeah. Okay. So you just play small.
I play small because I felt that it worked.
Yes.
My husband, who you have been inside.
I have been inside your husband.
You were inside him very early, actually.
Yes, he was one of my first.
I don't think he's ever let a man go as deeply inside him as you were.
Oh, well, that's nice to hear.
Extraordinary. But my husband's tall. He does that.
Does he play his height or does he play?
No, he is actually
down.
Very short.
Right.
So he's 4'11", but
yes.
He plays up.
He plays to sort of 6'5", sort of 6'6", kind of thing.
He does. If he's with Greg Davies, he plays 6'8", just to compete.
Right, yeah.
He's a very competitive man. But, I'm naturally a very tall person, but I felt that, you know, I'd looked at, you know, Max Wall, and I thought there's someone who plays short, and I like that.
Yes.
Sandy Toksvig,
plays
huge
very
woman,
short. Huge.
I mean, she's enormous. She fills a room.
Oh,
she fills
God.
A room.
They call her the rain shadow. You know that?
They
it's so big, she affects weather systems.
Yeah. It's dark suddenly, Mummy. I know. Toksvig is near,
Toksvig's
darling.
Here.
Toksvig is near.
So has being so tall helped you in your career? Do you think to just sort of get people's attention when you first walk into a room?
I do intimidate people. Mm. Yeah, I do. My favourite technique. So what I do is it's like gaslighting, really. So I go in tall.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I love it. It's nice that gaslighting has come to prominence because it's something that I've been studying for years.
Right.
And I go in tall and I say, "Give me a job," right?
Right.
And then they say, "Okay, that's fine." And then I go, "Oh, thanks very much.
Oh, that's nice.
Little old me. Oh my God, that's so kind." And then I'm 4'11", and they're like, "What just happened?"
But they've promised you a job.
But so they've booked a tiny lady.
That's it. They've booked a tiny lady, so that's what they get.
Mm.
Well, that is helpful then.
It's been helpful in many ways.
I find intimidating as many people as possible behind the scenes.
Yes.
It is very handy in comedy.
Yeah, be as shitty as you can to people on the way up.
Yes.
So that you can be even worse on the way down. So
hit them again on the way down.
That's it. You've prepared them on the way up.
Yes.
And they're like, she can't get any worse, surely.
Yeah.
And I meet people sometimes, you know, 10 to 15 years after I first encountered them. And this is the beauty of having been in the business for a long time.
Mm.
And I hear the stories and I hear people say she's the worst person in show business.
I've heard that. I've heard Lucy Porter, she's the worst person in show business.
And I love that. I love to hear
that. It's nice, that, isn't it?
And then
it's nice to be the best at something.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
It is, because, you know, I mean, too many comedians are genuinely nice.
Ugh.
Yeah. And it's only me and Peter Kay who are really keeping the...
yeah.
The flame on.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you are a bigger prick than him.
Yeah, in every single way. No, I mean, Olivia Colman's horrible, famously, as well.
Who's that?
Olivia Colman.
Yes.
Horrible.
Oh, God.
But she's done acting. She's horrible in acting. I'm trying to be horrible in comedy.
There is space for both of you, I think.
Yeah, I think there is.
Yeah, I think so.
She's 8 foot two.
Yeah, they have to build very big sets and film from quite far away.
Yeah. Well, Broadchurch, David Tennant was actually just sitting on our shoulder for most of
it. Right. And in The Favourite, Emma Stone was basically just clinging to the lens.
Yeah.
Just to look the same height.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Famously so.
Coleman's down the road, drunk.
She's leaning. If you look closely, she's actually leaning on a bar.
She is.
At the back.
Drunk and abusive.
Doing
but you
her
don't
lines.
Really get that because she's so far away.
That's it.
And then poor Emma Stone, yeah, sort of limpet like clinging to the lens.
That's why her eyes look so big. She's right there.
They're like, is there a hare in the gate? No, it's Emma.
Emma's
in the gate.
Emma's
again.
In the gate.
Yeah.
Now, you grew up in the beautiful, picturesque village of Croydon.
I did.
Where the streets are paved. And what did young Lucy Porter get up to? What sort of things were you?
Oh, hijinks and japes.
Hijinks?
All kinds. I mean, Croydon, people say that Stormzy and his ilk created the, you know, the popular music scene in Croydon, but I was there first.
Right.
So grime actually happened in 1980.
People just weren't ready for it.
They weren't ready. I was seven.
Mm.
And a seven-year-old grime artiste was not apparently what the public appetite was for.
Still isn't in many ways.
Well, I know. I know. I mean, I was precocious. It was what got me thrown out of the brownies.
The grime.
Yes. My wicked beats. Just brown owl couldn't handle.
Was she not into the grime? That's a shame.
It is a shame because a lot of brown owls are.
They are. A lot of them are into the beats.
It's very much a thing. There's a badge in it now, of course.
Beats badge?
The Beats badge.
Right.
You get the Beats badge.
Yes.
there's the
what do you have to do to get the Beats badge?
You have to do all that grime stuff.
All the grime.
All that shit, yeah.
Everything involved in grime.
You know
grime.
The grime, like from A to Z.
We're getting into real specifics here, people.
Just the grime.
Do try and keep up. But
yeah.
All the stuff they do in the grime.
That, all of, like,
all of
literally,
it.
Literally. You know, like the that
the,
bit.
The beginning
the grime
of it.
Beginning
the beginning
bit,
of the grime.
And then it goes grimier.
In the middle, yeah.
And then you go, it can't get any grimier. How's it going to go grimier?
Oh, so grimy.
And that's how grimy you have to get. In the brownies now. You have
to get your badge?
10 grimy.
It's quite a lot of stress to get just
it
to get a
is,
badge.
It is. It was only the hostess badge when I was young. But now...
Right. Which had no grime in it at all.
Depends how mucky you were, really,
right,
when
yeah.
you made the cup of tea for the old person. But
that's
yes.
hostessing, is it?
That's hostessing.
Because I was thinking of air hostessing, and I thought that was quite probably prohibitively expensive for the brownies.
You did need quite rich parents for that one. It
yeah.
was like the pony trekking badge. It was like, yeah, you
right.
had to have... I mean, if you didn't have those parents, you could do hostessing in a Soho cocktail bar. And that was the option my mum and dad chose. And I think that's very much why I'm where we are today, really.
Right. You were ahead of the curve by the time
I was in the Sunset Strip, age 8.
Classy place.
So I've got lovely girls. I've got lovely girls. They're all very clean. I didn't know what it meant.
They're all positive words. Lovely, clean.
Exactly.
Girls.
Exactly. Shiny girls.
Yes.
I said, they'll do anything you want. I thought that meant make you a cup of tea.
Right.
Help you cross the road.
I've never seen that outside the Sunset Strip.
No.
No.
I don't know what crossing the road would be in that environment.
What euphemism that.
Crossing know. Streams, I can imagine, but I don't know what crossing the road. Anyway.
Crossing the road.
So I got that hostessing badge.
Oh, well done. And was the brownies influential in your childhood, do you think?
Incredibly so.
So
my Edinburgh poster this year, I'm dressed as a brownie.
That's right.
And that is actually what I've done is I've taken a photo of me
yes.
and aged it up.
Right.
Because that's the way we all do our Edinburgh posters as well. Another peek behind the curtain.
That's right.
You don't get your photo taken.
No. Photographers are far too expensive in 2019. So what we do is we take all of our rubbish photos we have in drawers from the 80s and 90s and then Photoshop them to make our child faces look as sort of tired and cynical as they are now. That's basically it.
Yeah, you do. You see, I mean, if you do look at Edinburgh posters, it's lovely because you see the sort of tiny frightened eyes often of a child.
That's right.
In the face of someone who is in Brooks Bar until 4 a.m.
That's right. And it's why everyone's Edinburgh posters look quite airbrushed and false these days. You know? Yes.
I do mine on an Etch-a-Sketch.
Do you?
Yeah.
That must take a while.
It does.
Yeah.
But it stops me having to write the show.
That's true. Because if you go wrong, you're just like, oh!
Shake that! Just shake my face! Shake my face!
Start again.
Yeah.
Well, no.
In fact, I write my whole show on an Etch-a-Sketch.
Do you?
Yeah. And I'm bringing out a novel.
On an Etch-a-Sketch?
On Etch-a-Sketches, yeah.
Now, is that a chapter in Etch-a-Sketch, or do you do the whole novel on it? Because that's some fine finger work.
It's, well, I've just finished the first draft.
Right.
Excitingly.
I hope you've left it somewhere stable.
Well, I've stored it in my children's bouncy castle. Because I thought they won't be on it in this weather, will they? They won't be in the garden at the moment.
Well, because you've got an indoor bouncy castle. The bouncy room.
Yeah, we have the bouncy room. But yeah, no, so the novel currently, it's on 365 Etch-a-Sketches.
Right. Will it be published in that format?
Yes, it will.
It won't be transcribed at any point.
No. I think it's important to keep true. So I will be individually Etch-a-Sketching.
How many copies do you hope to sell of this book?
How many copies does a book normally sell? 5?
God, yeah, 5. I'd say you can get into the Amazon top 20 by selling 5 or 6 books.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Well, that's good, because I think I've got about 5 or 6
in you before you just go, oh, screw this.
I could contract it out, I suppose.
Yeah.
I could get someone with I could get the children to do.
Are they're that good, are they? They wouldn't get distracted and suddenly just sort of do a sort of misshapen donkey in the middle of it or something?
No, I've trained them up pretty well.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, they do a lot of stitching.
Good. More children need a vacation early, that's what I think.
And surgery is the perfect one.
Oh, I see. They're very ahead of the curve.
They are, but, you know, I think if you're going to have surgery, it's nice to see a fresh face.
Yes, that's true. Also, I feel a lot safer around the house if I know that my toddler could do a tracheotomy on me at any moment.
Yes.
You know, without even a second's thought. Bang, that's biro
right.
in the throat.
That's right. No, mummy, I'm cutting down first and then across. Yeah, that's what they do.
That's what they say. So, you were... So that's Croydon. I read somewhere you were educated by nuns. Now that sounds very exciting. Are nuns as sort of humorous as they appear in nearly every film of the 70s and 80s?
Well, a lot of the nuns that educated me were actually in Dave Allen's sketches.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, in the past, sort of retired nuns.
Yes.
A school for retired comedy nuns.
They were comedy nuns. Some of them were porno nuns.
Right, of course.
You never knew which ones you were going to get.
The other main nun genre.
Yes. That's right. So if it was the comedy nuns, you were in for a good laugh. If it was the porno nuns, you'd learn something you didn't know.
Right. And then once around Christmas, a religious nun.
Yeah.
The worst kind of nun.
Well... It was almost a relief to get a religious nun.
Oh, really?
Actually, yeah. It was like, tell us about God, please. Don't show us anything.
Yeah.
Sick of seeing all the bits and you know, and them doing the joke about the candles. Just endlessly. It was always, they'd always say, oh, do you want me to ride on a bike down a cobbled street? Those comedy. They'd always be like, oh, should we get into the bath with a bar of soap? And I'd be like, no.
No, please just teach us something.
Just, I want to learn about hell.
Yeah, Wednesday afternoons, cobbled street bath time again. Yeah. Oh, bloody nuns. Well, no, that sounds awful, actually.
It was, I mean, it did leave me with a hunger for religion, which I have pursued my whole life.
Right, so you found religion there with the comedy and porn nuns.
I did, right. I did. I found God, I've kept God. I could give him away.
Don't do that.
But I'm not going to.
No, you keep him for yourself.
I'm keeping God to myself,
yeah.
Yes.
Did that influence your desire to go into comedy, that you were now a religious person in your youth?
Yes, and I thought I can bring my message and my nun jokes to the world.
To the world. I mean, there's, if there's one thing that people in Britain love, it's for their comedians to be deeply religious.
Yes. It's a massive help. It's
a massive help
being a very religious woman.
Yes.
Those two things have combined.
Enormously tall, very religious woman.
If you'd like to see Inside the Comedian recorded live, we'll be at the Edinburgh Festival from the 19th to the 23rd of August. Tickets are now on sale from pleasants.co.uk.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You went on to a red brick university. Which one was that?
It was Manchester University.
Manchester, that's right. Where presumably you met no one of consequence. who could help you in your career anyway? I mean,
No.
So what did you study? What did you study?
I studied religion.
Religion, right. So you kept it going.
I kept it going.
You wanted to find out more. You were hungry.
I mean, I waned a little bit at that point.
Right.
I lost my faith for about 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
During matriculation or...?
It was, I don't know, I think it was during, it was a hockey match.
Oh, right. Just like, oh, I quite like hockey, actually.
This is better than God in many ways, isn't it? There's sticks.
God has two sticks, doesn't he?
But
so when did the comedy enter your life then at this point? So you had hockey for 10 minutes, you like, actually, religion, I was right in the first place.
Yeah, and then comedy. Rather than expressing myself through hockey,
yes,
I thought I'll go through comedy.
Right. So what were your first gigs like? What was that?
Well, the lovely thing about being in Manchester was, of course, the locals in Manchester liked nothing more than to hear a 22-year-old woman from London
talking. Famously.
Yeah. So that was, I mean, the love of the Mancunian people for students is absolutely, it's extraordinary.
Yes. If you're not feeling like you're getting enough love in Manchester,
yeah,
put on a scarf or talk loudly in public somewhere.
Yes, yes, yeah. Toby!
Just do that. You'll immediately be handed a scone or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, oh, you're a student. Fucking brilliant.
That's right.
That's the accent that I used to do.
They love that as well.
They absolutely love
just
that.
Just showing
they
a bit
did
of respect for the culture.
Exactly.
Yes, I went to a Scottish university and they were quite the same.
Yeah.
Quite the same there. They absolutely loved you doing their accent at them.
Oh, God, yes. Yes. Your honeyed tones.
That's right, yes.
Saying, oh, I'm a postman from Leith or whatever the bit you used to do.
I used to do a bit about how all Scottish people were postmen from Leith. you sort of had to be there. It was very of its time, sort of 2006, 2007 sort of thing. There were a lot of postmen in the news.
Yeah, it was a boom time for postman-based comedy, wasn't it?
It was.
There was the Far Show character the bewildered posting.
The bewildered postman. He'd come along and I probably ripped it off that.
You
to
might
be honest.
Have done, because Big Train had the angry postman.
They had the angry postman. They did.
I did the religious postman.
How did that go down?
Not well.
No.
Not well. No. No. It turns out that that wasn't really what the public had an appetite for. They loved the postman bit. And they were like, we love the fact that you're a 6 foot tall man. How tall was I again? 6 foot five tall man.
You were, yeah.
Very tall man playing a postman. We enjoy that. Not so much
not
the religion.
So much
because
the
letters would all be about God and I'd hand them out and I'd be like, oh, have you had the post? Oh. And they'd be like, oh, is it about, it's about God again, isn't it?
It's about God. Yeah. It's got pictures and everything. Mm. Illustrations.
It's God playing hockey.
It's a powerful image.
It's powerful.
Who would he play with? Himself? No, God shouldn't play with himself. That's one of the first things the nuns probably taught you.
Not my nuns, but the Christmas nun.
The Christmas nun.
The Christmas nun had to undo a lot of the work that had been done the rest of the
year. What have they said? Right. Sit down.
Forget all of that.
Yes. So you tried doing your postal based comedy in Manchester and sort of the bug bit you, did it? That was exciting.
It was exciting. It was the 90s. So it was there was a big comedy scene in Manchester.
Right.
There were people like Terry Funny.
Terry Funny. Very clever, ahead of his time, Terry Funny.
He was.
What he did that most people don't appreciate is he put what he was in his name.
Yeah.
And that was funny.
Yeah.
Also, his suit was made of terry cloth as well, wasn't it? So it was a sort of double handed.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Terry Funny? What's gone?
He was too absorbent.
He was too absorbent.
You can't be too absorbent as a comedian. You've got to sort of be able to brush things off. You know,
yeah,
things have got to roll off you a bit more.
You take
that.
Every piece of criticism to heart.
You do, and
you?
His tears eventually soaked through.
Oh.
The tears of a clown made him too heavy.
That's right. Just
for any stage.
Couldn't leave the club.
Falling through the stage. Oh. Yeah. So it was. That was. Yeah. It was a sad demise.
What a shame, because you know, in his day, he was quite funny.
His postman routine, actually.
Excellent.
The cloth postman.
The cloth postman, yes.
That was a good one, the absorbent postman.
Right.
Because people were like, we've not seen that.
We've not seen a postman who's also absorbent.
Yeah.
No, we haven't seen that, therefore this is good.
Yeah. That's what audiences like. Audiences do, they like the new, the confusing.
Yes. The ill-conceived and not quite thought through, that's what they love.
Yes.
They love to see people stumble through to the end.
Preferably drunk, I've
preferably
found.
Drunk.
Preferably drunk. They go, oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. That incoherent, shambling drunk.
Thank you for indulging yourself in my presence.
That's right.
On and my dime. Thank you for doing that.
Happy I paid £15 to see this, they say. They
absolutely.
Come up to you afterwards and they say, I wouldn't have wanted it slicker.
No. Who killed the postman routine, do you think? Because that's gone now. You won't see somebody do a, want a letter. He's, this old thing.
I think it was Paddy McGuinness's definitive take on it.
I mean, he will be celebrated forevermore for the Paddy McGuinness postman.
No boxy, no posty.
No boxy. No boxy, no posty.
Yeah.
No, that's what he used to say, and it would just bring the place down. No boxy, no posty. And even afterwards, as you're still sort of crying in the street, you'd be like, it didn't really make sense, but... It just worked, didn't it?
It was
just incredible.
It did, and once the definitive take on something is out there, then it's gone.
Yeah. Everything else is a pale imitation.
That's it. So I ditched. That was the point where I ditched it. And you know, I thought I'm just going to be a woman telling jokes.
Right. And is that popular? Does that
No. God no. I mean, that was in the 90s. It was hated to a level that I think we find hard to understand
these days.
Yeah, but,
things have moved on, but do you think people are intimidated by a funny woman? Do you think that's true? Or is that just sort of like a bottle of old horse piss that's slowly curdling in a shed somewhere? Is that not, as
delicious,
an opinion, I mean, I don't mean literally.
Fermented horse piss.
Yeah. Are people intimidated, do you think, or is it something else? Is there another reason they hate you?
I think it's... They hate me mostly because of the religion.
Right.
But the hockey.
I've noticed you're not the only woman doing comedy that people have despised.
No. Well, it's funny. I think it all dates back. So when I started doing comedy, it was still banned widely.
Yes.
So we kind of had to do it secretly under the radar.
That's right. And many women dressed as men just to get a career in comedy.
I know. And some of them haven't been able to come out, which is sad.
Right.
Lee Mack is still...
Lee Mack. Short for Leanne.
Yes. And she is so sensitive, so tender. And that side of her doesn't really come out as much as it might.
No.
Not that I'm saying that, you know, all women are.
No. But, you know, she to this day hides behind this fragile, pathetic facade of being northern.
Yes.
And it just doesn't.
Whereas the postmistress from Sussex that she actually is.
Right.
I mean, obviously, she couldn't talk about the postmistress bit because that's over. But yeah, being a woman from Sussex, you know, she's lost that.
People weren't ready, but she should come out now.
She could. Well, because now you are allowed to have more than one woman on panel shows, which, of course, when I started, it was banned.
Yes.
It was a very strict...
It was a very strict zero women policy.
That's right. That's right. And people,
if you went above that level, there would be hell to pay.
Well, I tell you what it was. It's actually... I mean, you know, people... say, or there should be more women on panel shows, but actually what happened was...
I've never heard anyone say that.
Do you know, actually, neither have I.
No, but we assume someone has somewhere.
I think I was just mad.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of my visions. But yeah, thing is, it does come from a very good place because there was an occasion in the 1980s where they had Marty Caine and Faith Brown.
Right.
On the same episode of Blankety Blank.
Right.
And I think... that was the day that President Reagan was assassinated. Oh, you know, the attempts to assassinate.
Attempted to be assassinated.
Attempted,
yes.
Yeah, that I couldn't really remember the news story. But yeah.
No, but someone shot at him, didn't they?
Someone shot at him.
So they blamed Blankety Blank, did they? Yeah. So,
well, he said, I think, what was it, Hinckley, was it? He said, I'm doing this because of what I've just seen on BBC One.
On BBC One. Yes, I saw two women. Bang!
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. So that's kind of what happened. And then, so...
But we've moved on. There's been so few shootings based on the number of women on panel shows recently. I mean, the numbers have dropped to only 4 or 5 a year now. So, you know, people have got more used to it. It's become normalised.
I mean, it's still too... I mean, it's difficult because you think, I like seeing more women on panel shows.
Yeah.
But is it to blame for ISIS?
Right. I do want a career, but do all those people have to die?
Yeah. Just so I can tell my nun jokes. It's difficult. It's a conundrum that we all wrestle with every day, David.
Right. Well, that's very difficult for you.
And in a way, it's kind of, you know, the Lee Macks of this world, like David Mitchell.
Yes.
Everyone on Would I Lie To You, they're all women.
Yes.
But they have bravely stayed in. And I think to avoid bloodshed is the reason they've done it.
Right. Ironic, they're on Would I Lie To You as well.
Yes. It's often the way, isn't it? The biggest lie of all is hiding in plain sight.
The biggest lie of all is the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Well, look, I'm glad things have changed, you know. Let's not say for the better.
No,
because of all the deaths. But let's say for the different.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And I mean, people die because of women.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Lucy Porter, thank you for letting us inside you. Lucy Porter. Thank you.
That was the last in this current series of Inside the Comedian. For all the latest news and live recording dates, please go to mrdavidreed.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.